Hello, this is Mark with Beyond Vibrations. I'm here with Diana Roth. We're here to pick up again where we left off a few seconds ago when I tried to mute the microphone and instead hung up on us. So thank you, Yoli. What is it? What's his first name? What do you call him?
Yodi Coyote.
Anyway, so we're victims of somebody's humor. Now,
a certain coyote's humor.
Yeah. Anyway, it was appreciated in a certain way. So now, what we're going to work on here is we've been discussing some possible angles to move forward with some recordings for the website, for the forums. Diana's been dragging her feet a little bit with making new recordings because she's wanting to keep everything very simple for the website. The reason being because we tend to overcomplicate things. We feel that these subjects that we're here to bring will further on the help people to see the simplicity of the message that Diana's bringing. Diana, this subject, as we talked about, will go into the learning to drop. What's the title? We said learning to drop the bags and unlearning what you've learned. And Diana wants to speak of these as boxes. So we're talking about boxes today, Diana.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I just wanted to maybe name a few of the more popular boxes that you can find yourself in, and keep in mind also that once you free yourself from a box, you can find that you're in another box. So there can be boxes within boxes. But if you just keep opening lids, you're eventually going to get out of them. And that's all you've got to do is open the lid to the box and you have a way out. And the first one I wanted to talk about is white light. There's always a balance between shadow and light. Always. There can't be one without the other. If you only work in white light, you never experience the great soul lessons learned in shadow. Shadow is no more evil than light. Each simply is. If you're a person that believes that you only work in light or put out light and love to everything, you're not balanced because you've ignored the other half of the balancing force. Both shadow and light have positive and negative energies within them. And this is something that most people don't realize. It can be a very hard concept for people to understand, especially in today's energy conversation. You can have... If you're in shadow, you will find that there will be positive and negative aspects to shadow. And if you're in light, you'll find that they're positive and negative aspects. And they don't have shadow and light is different from positive and negative. And a lot of people don't understand this. It's a very hard concept for many to understand because in today's energy conversation, it is in to be part of the love and light group. These are very pleasant sounding words and concepts, but they just don't work. If you feel that by surrounding yourself in only white light, you have protection, you don't. You have surrounded yourself with imbalance, and imbalance is never a protection. There are people and entities that are attracted to both positive and negative energy, in which it is simply doesn't matter to them. They'll either take positive or negative energy for their own use. These people or entities, they're lazy and they're selfish. They're takers. They are users. These types of people or entities are looking for free energy. Energy that they can take and not have to expend any of theirs to get. So if you're constantly putting out a free supply of love and light energy, they will hone in on you like the mosquito looking for its next meal, and feast on feast on you they will. The same holds true for those who are constantly putting out negative energy. This is why you have to constantly put out more and more light, or that your light emission is never finished. There is always more to be put out. You will not be able to find your center while you're this imbalanced, or unbalanced, excuse me. You are in a white light box. Open the lid and free yourself. Now, right now, you're asking yourself, well, that's all good, well and good, but here I am totally exposed with no protection. The answer is to make your energy neutral. If you are neutral, you have no energy to take. You're not positive or white light or negative. You are neutral. Your energy is neutral. There is no energy to take. And you will get passed by these people or entities looking for easy pickings. And an obsidian field will make you neutral in appearance, and even if an attempt is made, is tried to penetrate it, no energy is going to pass in or out of it. It's going to be neutral. So, Mark, you got any questions about that?
Yeah, I think this is going to open up a lot of surprise for a lot of people, because we really are, I suppose, the whole gist of the New Age movement is really working with surrounding yourself in light, various colors of light, different love and light, projecting love and light, and that's a protection. But your experience is that it's actually feeding.
Oh yes, it can make you very vulnerable. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have compassion for others, mm-hmm. or that you shouldn't love others, and or that you shouldn't do for others. Mm-hmm. That's a totally different thing. But when you surround when you're just putting out white light around everything, you're in essence invading the personal space of that person or animal or whatever. You're invading their boundaries because you haven't asked them if it's okay. So it would be like someone coming up to you and putting a great big piece of sheet metal around you. You know, maybe you don't want that sheet metal around you, but they might say, oh, this is good for you because it'll keep the wind off of you. Uh-huh. But it keeps you also from learning your soul lessons, and you're here to learn certain soul lessons, and the vast majority of your soul lessons are learned in shadow. Grief, loneliness, illness, all of those things, those are usually learned in shadow, not in light. So if you never find yourself in shadow, you're not learning those lessons that you came here to learn. And if you keep doing that life after life after life, you're going to have a really dumb soul because your soul won't have learned any lessons. So there are consequences to doing that. If somebody asks you to surround them in a white or healing light and you want to, then that's fine. But it's not going to keep positive and negative energies off of them, because those are two entirely different things.
That yeah, because, okay, so one of the techniques that I've seen taught and that I've worked with myself is protecting myself with a various forms of light around me, sometimes an egg, sometimes a double, an octahedron, there are different people teach different things, but filled with like a violet light was one of the suggestions that the violet light was very good for protecting. Your experience with protecting, though, you speak of the black obsidian as being much more effective in protecting because it neutralizes rather than creating an imbalance. It neutralizes.
Right. It has. It neutralizes everything that passes through it in either direction.
Uh-huh.
So if you have an obsidian protection around you, you can't send out negative energy because it's going to be neutral. So it works in both directions.
Helps you create your own karma.
Right. Yeah. It really works. It really works well. Now, surrounding yourself, you can surround yourself if you like the way a certain color vibrates and you like being surrounded, you can surround yourself with that. Then surround yourself on the outside with the obsidian, and the obsidian will work the same way. And you still have the light. You still have the light between the obsidian and you.
I see. Okay, and I think. Do you think we should speak a little bit more about how to use the black obsidian work that, like, as a protection now, or maybe that's done enough in the other discussion? I think a lot of people have had questions about it, so maybe it warrants talking about it a little bit.
The anytime you want to project a field, you need to form the intent. You need to be far enough along in the audios that you can go into an altered state of you can form intent, go into an altered state of consciousness, and ask for the obsidian protection. Now, once you put it there, it's going to stay there until you tell it to go away. You don't have to keep asking it to come. It's going to stay there. You just form the intent to do the field, and it should be there. And the one thing that I should tell you about working with obsidian is this, or two things. Sometimes you may be just looking out and you may see a flash of black, and what's happened is something has tried to penetrate your obsidian shield with a pretty good size force, and it got repelled. And that's when you see that flash of black, so you know that something tried to get in and didn't. And I should have forgot what the other one was. Oh, let me think here for a minute. My brain just collapsed. We're having a lot of coyote energy today with us on this interview.
Yeah, he's having fun.
Oh, I know what it was. I remember what it was. Thank you, Coyote. If you're doing fine and you've got yourself wrapped in obsidian, and people say, oh, you're looking really dark today, or a friend may come up and say, boy, you really look almost black, your energy today. You know that they tried to get a look at your soul and that obsidian went black. And you can just kind of laugh to yourself and go, ha, ha, got you with your britches down. Because that's what they're going to see. They're not going to see your soul. They're going to see black, jet black. So,
okay.
So it should, if that comes up, don't worry about it. That just means somebody tried to get a look at your soul, and nobody should ever attempt to invade your personal boundary to get a look at your soul. That is a no-no, a big-time no-no.
Hey,
healers, nobody should do that.
Okay. I would like to... There's something that's coming up for me with working with the obsidian, is that it does feel like I have a better chance of being a better person to be around, because I think it's helping the whole concept around neutral intent is helping me quite a lot. And I think that the subsidian feels directly related to that. The neutral intent and neutralizing, rather than thinking that I know what's best for other people or trying to impose my own sense of what would be best for something on anyone around me is I'm starting to see that as really valuable to shed as a way of working with other people and other beings, probably everything around me.
Well, what's happening is that you've got your ego in check better.
Uh-huh.
And you're willing to allow people to walk their own life path.
Yeah.
Without trying to do what you believe is best for them, because that's your mind ego interfering. And so if you're doing that, you're doing a good job of controlling your mind ego and allowing that obsidian to remain neutral. So you're doing very well if that's what's happening.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the objective. And, well, that's what I see as my work right now. So it's great if I can do it more. It seems like this is helping a lot. In that respect,
You'll get to where it's just almost automatic.
Yeah,
that's
exciting. I can see that being a real improvement. Let's move to the next subject that you had to discuss, and we'll keep.
This box is a big box for almost all humans. And that's the lack of connection to Earth and her species. And it's a huge problem for humans' spiritual advancement. Humans are becoming less and less connected to the Earth and all of the other species that live on her. Children don't play outside anymore. They don't have the luxury of having parents to teach them the value of other species. Far too many parents use TV and video games as a substitute for outdoor activities. And in this respect, parents have become lazy because they do not teach their children the value of the earth that they live on and the species that they share the planet with. And then in turn, these children grow up egotistically believing that they're the sole worthy occupants of the planet. They aren't. They don't learn to share. They don't learn to be good stewards of the earth. And they're the generation of young people that are making up the new parents and have not been taught this by their parents and will not teach it to their children. This is a box of enormous consequence that they have put both themselves and their children in. And what I would ask you, how many hours do you spend outside communing with either the earth or her species? If your answer is not many, then you're inside this box. Open the lid, go outside, turn your green and useless lawns into meadows and wildflower gardens. Look at the beautiful planet you live on. Take a walk on the beach. Take a walk in the woods. A really fun activity to do with kids at night in the summertime, especially if you know where there's a meadow that has dew and you can see the spider webs on it in the evening, is to go out at night and stand at the edge of the meadow and shine a flashlight on the spider webs. And it'll look like a million stars because what you're seeing are spider eyes. Kids love it. And it's free.
Yeah.
the kids never forget that because it just looks like the grass is covered with just tiny, tiny stars, and what they are, they're all these little spider eyes.
Fun.
because they're all out sitting on their webs waiting for the nighttime creepy crawlies to come along.
Yeah, the whole thing of working out and getting out in nature seems a big thing. It's something that you think about, and if you do it, you feel different. But I know for myself, I end up getting on the computer a lot, or I become quite absorbed into that world, and it's not very nice. And it really is amazing, the feeling of just being out. We were out working on the beach today, and it was quite amazing how different it is. It only takes 20 minutes walking on the beach to really feel different.
That's true. And a lot of people here in the United States, they belong to gyms and they'll go exercise.
Yeah.
And what I would say is that instead of exercising, take some slow walks. And when you're walking, well, even if you're in a suburb, look for animals. Play a game with yourself. See how many animals. See how many different animals you can spot, including insects. Just become aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, it sounds like the gesture between those two options. You know, one is going faster and creating even more static. Well, I think though that you do have a feeling when you exercise well or move your body well, you end up tiring yourself, and that's nice when you're not doing much physical activity. But it's really quite different to slow down, because everything's very fast. And well, I think that's the majority of people in our culture, I suppose, but it wouldn't be, I suppose, everywhere. But a lot of people listening to this will be in a position where they're overloaded with information, overloaded with activities in their lives, really busy, always busy, and not feeling any time for anything. And so they would be even thinking, well, I don't have time to do that. That's all well and good. I don't have time to do, to go out. You know, I'm already too busy as it is.
Well,
it changes things, doesn't it? It actually changes your sense of time.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it for a long period of time. You can do it for 15 minutes, and if you go to the gym for an hour, you know, it does tire you and maybe take some stress off of you. And I have a friend that calls it, excuse me for calling it this, jock brain. He says it takes all of the static out when you go.
Yeah.
But when you're out there walking, if you just go neutral and you're out there walking and looking around, you're going to get the same effect.
Right.
And you're going to feel a peace that you're not going to feel at the gym.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks. That's really a nice image. Let's move on to the next subject. I can see what you're working on here.
Yeah, the next one would be fear. And I already covered that in one of the audios, but gosh, if you allow yourself to be trapped in a box that's controlled by fear, you're going to question everything that happens to you, and it's going to get filtered through doubt and fear. And fear is controlled by your left brain, where your mind ego maintains its control. And some examples of fear control boxes are conspiracy theories, mind control, worrying that there are powers that control your every move and or thought. Death is a finite experience rather than a transition. Control over your decision making, lack of free will, and so on. If you, pretty much anything that you worry about is controlled by fear. That's an easy way to recognize a fear-based box. Is if you're worrying about it, if there's some manner of fear in there, and just open the lid and look up and look out and realize that you can get out of it. Because fear is going to make spiritual work just about impossible. It's always, you'll get so far and then you get thrown right back down to the very bottom again.
Okay, so something that I see in that and that I'd like to ask as a question there is that if you have, I have had the experience in some settings where it seems that the person who is most likely to be controlled and manipulated is the one who believes that they aren't able to be controlled, or that there isn't a problem, and deny that there is anything happening, or that, for example, people who think that that it's ridiculous to think that the television is controlling how they think, or that it's a mind-controlling device, or that it get programmed through the TV, and my experience has been that really it is quite an incredible force of mind control and creating of boxes and creating of all sorts of funky concepts of reality. I haven't had my children watching TV growing up, and I watched quite a lot of TV growing up, and the difference is my children find it very, very boring when they're with other children who do watch a lot of TV, because they say they don't really know how to play, and they don't really know how to make things, or they're less interesting, and they talk, really every conversation turns somehow to television or some program or some game, and they find it quite tedious and boring. But I look at, you know, I used to say things like the television is the opiate of the masses, in that kind of a comment, and in some circles it would be like I would be laughed at as being ridiculous, and I know a lot of people listening to this would have that awareness that
no, it's a box. It's definitely a box. But if you watch TV, you have to realize it's a box. And once you realize that something is a box, then the box falls away. And if you believe everything that you see on TV, then you're in a closed box. But if you can just watch a TV program and then not think about it anymore, then you're in an open box. So it's all in how it affects you. If watching TV frightens you, if the stuff that's on there frightens you, then you're in a fear box inside of a TV box. And, yeah. You know, so it's all in how you take the information into yourself.
Okay.
If you allow it to be in a box. Now, granted, I agree with your children that these children are in boxes. They're in TV boxes because they don't know that the concept of boxes. And it would be very boring to your children because their imaginations have been expanded, and they're more creative in what it is that they do and probably how they think. And if you watch a lot of TV, if you're watching TV, you're not thinking creatively. Well, so that's why I'm saying that parents are lazy if they're allowing their kids to spend large amounts of time watching TV or being on the computer playing computer games, because they are actually numbing and dumbing their children down to right brain thinking. They're basically putting their kids in a left brain box where they can be controlled by what cereal they eat or
Well, in a lot of the modern, today's issues, also a huge issue, social media, like, it's, one could say, oh, well, that's good, they're interacting with their friends, but they're actually just constantly on their devices or on their computer or on their phone, interacting in a very staticky sort of way, like,
not static.
A lot being said, but it's back and forth, you know, an SMS, you know, SMS messages back and forth, or messages back and forth on Facebook, or tweeting back and forth.
It's a constant static, and it replaces the ability to do spiritual work, and you will find that those people will be the least spiritually thoughtful people, whereas the ones that don't do that as much will tend to be more spiritually thinking. And the same, you know, I mean, the same goes true. We're just inundated with media, whether it's in books or TV or the internet. I mean, it's just this massive amount of it that's coming in like overwhelming static. And that's why I like my Obsidian Protection, because I don't read books anymore. I can do what I need to do. I can visit other planets. I can, do what I need to do. And people have a way of finding me when they're supposed to. And I guess I have a sureness of my own sense of path that I don't need that anymore, that it's become static to me. And everyone has to walk their path to get to that stage. And if something feels like static to you, it probably is. Just drop it. It's a bag or a box. The more of that stuff you can get rid of, the younger you are, the less heavy you will be when you reach middle age. You don't get rid of that stuff when you're young, you're going to be dragging a lot of boxes and bags behind you.
Okay, that's great. Let's move on, just so we can keep it moving, and we'll see, because we'll probably come and revisit specific points as we go, and as the website develops and as the questions come in.
Yeah. There, I wanted to just briefly mention this. This is mostly an internet phenomenon, I guess you'd call it, talking about the powers that be or the Nazis or Hitler controlling everything. And this seems to be especially running rampant in the paranormal community. But this is a fear box. This is a big old fear box, because it's meant to make people afraid. And these types of energy takers have been around since the dawn of humans. Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, the Roman Empire, the United States conquest of the native people in the North American continent, colonialism, and on and on. It can be said that each group murdered and killed a vast number of people. But this idea now being brought up, it's merely a manifestation of fear and intent to make money off books. It sells books really good, I guess, on both sides of the issue. Granted, there are a lot of things that are going on at this time that our direction needs to be, you know, we need to be paying attention to. But this is due to the amount of information, both true and not true, that is available to each of us now. In the 1800s, nobody knew the number of Native people being killed or what was being done to them in order to give Europeans the control. So you see, control is in the eye of the beholder. It's a box. Whether you're ultra-right wing or ultra-left or left-wing group, it's a box. So open the lid and let yourself out. They do not control your soul, and they never will unless you give them control. You control your soul.
All right, okay. So that's probably... See, it seems to me as though this is a strong message to be placing in areas where a lot of people are really seeking and trying to make sense of the world that they see. And they do see, or I know for myself, the more that you look into the facts of different things that are happening around us, the more you feel like you're going into a rabbit hole of different ideas that actually one thing leads to the next, and you end up in a position where you really have to admit that a lot's going on that is deceptive, and yet it's almost like short-circuiting it all out by talking about by just changing and moving into a way that you neutralize your intent and start looking at reuniting with the earth itself. And we talked a little bit about beings from other places, that how the most evolved, the mm-hmm. highest evolved beings tend to be the most simple.
Yes.
They're not out there trying to gain control. They're not developing more and more technologies. It's not that they don't have knowledge of it. They don't need it anymore. Yeah.
They've grown past the need for technology. Yeah. They realize that they don't need it. And so, the concept of them coming to harvest our souls, to me, is ridiculous, because we're a very young race. I don't know why in the world anybody would want to harvest our souls, because we don't know anything. You know, if you're going to harvest a soul, you'd want to go to a planet where they were a little more advanced, I would think.
I suppose the argument on that side of things is more to do with the DNA and not that we're aware, but that we're not aware, and so we're more vulnerable. But I think that
all species have their own form of, quote, DNA, unquote. Uh-huh. I mean, it's how species propagate. You know, species have to use replicas of themselves to propagate. So what we've termed as DNA is nothing special. Every species has their own form of DNA. It may not look like ours, but you've got to be able to have it in order to replicate.
Okay, I don't have any more questions on that right now, so maybe we'll move to the next subject that you'd like to bring.
I'm going to touch on this one, and this one is organized religion. If one believes in a very rigid set of belief, or believes in a book, you've trapped yourself in a box. You can only go as far as what you're taught is right to believe in. Then you hit the side of the box. Most of these religions keep their followers inside these boxes out of fear of doing something wrong and being punished for all eternity. Threats of damnation and hell are not conducive to the wellness of one's soul, and certainly not soul growth. They attempt to keep the human from daring to look at the unknown and from soul growth. You need to open the lid and just look out if you can. Doesn't mean you have to give up believing. It just means that you You need to be able to not be in the box and entertain the idea of looking at the unknown. That's pretty much all I had to say about that.
Okay.
And then this next one, it kind of probably goes along with that. That's the concept of God or the goddess or the source or the one or the Godhead or however you want to, however you want to call it. Each of you has your spiritual soul. This is what drives your lessons, what drives what you learn on this life path. If you put yourself in the box of needing to believe in a supreme being that controls all, then you're in a box. Each of you makes up the all, and that includes every species in the universe and beyond this universe. You each control your fate and your ascension. Knowledge is in each of you. And remember that nothing is more important than anything else. And this includes the so-called Godhead. We're not a collective. We are individuals that make up the all, each making its own contribution to the whole. But it's not like a hive. And that's just pretty much what I wanted to say on that.
Okay.
That was sort of self-explanatory. Because religion can be it can either be a glorious thing for people or it can be a very hard thing for people. And you just have to keep the lid for your box open, and then you're okay.
Well, the idea of it's a pretty huge question, though, the whole idea of source and God and what your place is in it. And even though it's probably worth, I wonder if you could go into more detail about that just a little bit, like about how you've experienced it. What made perhaps what you experience when you travel and what you see and why you have this knowing for yourself. Because not everybody has that same experience yet, to understand where you're coming from, and it might make more sense if you talk about your experiences a bit more.
I would have to start it by saying it's accumulation of many soul lives, and it's a knowing, and I would share that I'm not an atheist. I was confirmed in the Lutheran Church, but I did not, once confirmed, I do not attend church because I believe it was a box, but I did have a religious upbringing that my mother wanted me to have. But God is, if you want, I'm going to use the word God for lack of, because I don't have another word to use. God is in each of us. And if God is in each of us, then God is not in a book. God is not in a building. God, the person doing the preaching, is no more godly than the person hearing the sermon. We all stand equal with our souls in our purity of being. Now, how we act in our physical bodies determines the lessons that our soul learns. And if our souls are learning negative lessons, then the soul is going to have to deal with those negative lessons. And when you come back for your next life, you're going to get presented those lessons again until you learn them in a manner that is more conducive to a spiritual awareness of compassion and love and doing good and being helpful for others. I actually, in one of the journeys I took, I actually went to the place I call it the place before existence. It's the soup where the things that are stars and planets, where they're made from. And I actually went to that place and sat in that place, and it was just absolutely amazing, and I don't think that I can describe it in human terms. I can see souls coming and going to Earth. I see them as tiny stars, and I can see them coming and going to Earth. And they're not going to heaven or hell. They're just coming and going back to wherever it is that they want to go. They may want to go to another place. They may want to ascend. But those are my experiences. And then there's so much of what is being done in the name of God in the world today that is so obvious that it has nothing to do with the teachings of any prophet or God. It's horrific. It's racist. It's negative energy. And in any concept that tells you that you can go to a place on one day of the week and pray and be forgiven for all the bad things you did the week before, only to go out the next week and do the same things and go back to that place and be forgiven, is encouraging you to just stay in that box and not learn the lesson. If you learn the lesson that treating people badly is a very, very bad thing, and it's very hard for your soul, and your soul pays a price for it, then you've learned a lesson. But that lesson is learned within you. It's not learned by listening to a speech. It's not learned by fighting in a war. It's learned within you, one-on-one with your soul, and that's the only way that can be learned. Some religious gatherings are more social than they are religious, and if people enjoy them, that's fine, as long, at least I feel, as long as they recognize that their real work is done between them and their soul, and that it's each soul that has to do their work, and that's what makes up your life path.
Okay.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Something that came up when you were talking is the thought of how we can go to a place. I think it would include any place, like any kind of an effort to go and improve somebody's life, which often is invited. Sometimes it's not invited, but it often is invited. And I've always thought that it would be much nicer and much less selfish if people who were going to help people in other places, whether it be in their own, I suppose, in their own country or own neighborhood or in other countries, if they went and genuine, and just helps them in ways that they wanted help, but then not with the extra contract of having to buy into the religion that they come, that they themselves believe. That's always been a real strange one for me to see. Like,
yeah, that's very astute, because if you spend an hour in church listening to how bad humans are and then you go home, you haven't really helped anyone. But if you go to a soup kitchen and serve lunch for an hour or make sandwiches, then you've helped somebody and your soul's learned a lesson.
Yeah, and what a blessing. But then some seem to that's such a great gesture as far as I can see it. And then when you have the extra thing that the reason for doing it is to win over souls to your religion, that's a really big one.
Yeah, that's why I never donate to religious charities. I only donate to one human charity, and that's Doctors Without Borders, and they are French. They won the 1999 Nobel Peace Prize, and they go into these countries like the Sudan and Darfur and Somalia and all of these horrible places. They're still in Haiti. And all they do is treat sick and injured people. And they are apolitical. They are a-religious. They don't care what your religion is. They don't care what your political values are. All they care is that you are sick and hurting. So they're the only human charity I give to.
Well, if you look at that gesture, if you could see that gesture happening more, it would be that seems like that would be a very positive change. And you speak a lot about when you travel different places that you are very careful to ask for permission to visit, and not, and if you look at there are courses to teach remote viewing and remote influencing skills, and one that I'm working, that I've worked with some now, is spends a lot of time teaching how you can just go around and going through and helping people, quote unquote helping people. But I think the risk there is that, well, it's not that I think it, I can see the risk being that you're actually not knowing what would be best for the person, but you think the best is to heal them. And in fact, you can heal them, and you can perform healing, a healing deed on somebody remotely even, but it's not.
But how do you know
if you're not removing that lesson?
That's exactly right. That may
There's
be
no
one
way
of their.
Know that. But that, anyway.
That's exactly right. You never know if you are removing their a very important life lesson, and that's why you need to get permission and have some sort of basic knowledge of what you're doing. And for me, as connected to the earth as I am, I give mostly to environmental charities, because the earth is just in such a terrible state right now, it needs all the help it can get.
Let's move to the next subject, just so we can keep this not too long.
Okay. Well, this is pretty much the last one.
Okay.
And this one is the need for scientific proof for everything. And this one I know something about, because my degree is in biology and I worked for 27 years as a chemist. So I, in the left brain, mind, ego world, I'm a scientist. But I fled from that a long time ago. humans, we tend to believe that science, we tend to believe everything that science says it's proven, only to find out that what they said, what they told you was proof, is wrong, but there's new proof, and this new proof is correct.
It's more correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Or they've found a new medicine, and this new medicine's better than the old medicine, only to find out the new medicine will kill you faster than the old medicine. So science is basically a left brain activity, and it's controlled by the mind slash ego. And scientific discovery is tightly controlled by the scientist's ability to gain money for research.
Yeah.
It is very controlled. It's controlled more by peer pressure than true vision into the unknown. And this scientific box controls much of our lives, from what we eat, what medicine we take, what ideas we believe are facts, what crops we plant, and on and on and on. And the soul lies in the right brain of each of us. So if you can learn to let go of that scientific left brain and its need for proof, you will find it much easier to connect with your soul. And both remember the knowledge you have learned over your past lives, as well as the new knowledge that you're learning during this life. Just open that need for proof and expand your soul. People have been trying to prove UFOs and abductions and all of that for decades and decades and decades. If it's going to come, it's going to come. And it doesn't mean that a person who says they were abducted won't. So it's just the need for proof. You can't prove the soul. It's something that they're never going to prove. They're sure trying, but they're not going to do it. That's pretty much all I wanted to say about that.
Okay. My opinion is that we leave this recording where it is there, and then I have some ideas of something else we could do, but I think to leave this recording there, and then I have something I'd like to talk about in a different area, a different category in the forum. Does that sound okay with you?
Yeah, so let's just end this one here. So this is the end of Boxes, directed by Yodi Coyote.
Yeah, with great assistance. Yeah. Thank you.
With great assistance from Yodi Coyote and his Acme catalog.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Diana.
Okay.